This is Scott McCausey with Christian Devotion Speak Up, and today I have a friend of our ministry back again after about a four-year absence, which is shame on me. Burgess Jenkins joins us. He's an actor. My goodness, he's done tons of things right now. You probably know him from Nashville. Burgess Jenkins, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
It's been too long, my friend, so, and you've got a lot of things cooking right now, don't you?
yeah, to say the least. It's been a wild ride these last handful of months, so I'm blessed and I'm grateful, but sometimes I can't remember my name.
Man, there's no wonder we're brothers. I can feel your pain on that one. You know, we're going to discuss one of your newest projects, the movie Hero, a film where you play the part of a little league coach, which should resonate with many of my listeners. But before we get there, I just want to remind our listeners a bit about your testimony, as it's been about 4 years since you've been on the show with me. Tell us about growing up in North Carolina, maybe even playing a little bit of Little League yourself as a boy.
Gosh, you know, growing up in North Carolina was idyllic. It really was. And having spent so many years working all over the country, a lot of time living in Los Angeles, I'm back out in Los Angeles working on a show now and have been for many months. I'm reminded that much more of how idyllic and fantastic growing up in North Carolina was. And we are raising my daughter there now, and so I travel back and forth a lot, which adds to the insanity. But
yes.
You know, I grew up in a medium-sized town, and it was one of those places where you did leave your front door unlocked, and you know, you would be out riding your bikes and playing ball with your friends in the front yard, and that kind of atmosphere still exists to this day. And you know, as far as my faith walk went and still goes, I was very, very fortunate, very blessed to have a mom who really cultivated that in myself and my brother, and did so in a you know, living it kind of way, as opposed to just talking about it.
Yes.
And so, you know, that's something that I cannot be grateful enough for. And there are those things you look back on your life and you realize that that those are the roots that grew you up to be who you are today. And so I'm trying to pass those things along to my daughter, and we're having a ball doing it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And, you know, there's something that I learned from you, Burgess, from the 4 years ago you were on the program, because I've interviewed bunches of actors and actresses since I've had you on the program, but you kind of schooled me in some different thought processes, especially in regards to, you know, learning about the film industry. You shared those years ago that you learned the Meisner method, and I was really surprised the amount of people that come on the program that share that they learned this similar type of methodology for acting. And you know what? They're really impressed when I say I know the Meisner method. So first and foremost, thank you for that. And second, why don't you tell our listeners what this is all about?
Well, Meisner or...
Yeah, that methodology. That methodology of acting, that Meisner method, which really transcends and shares the person that you are on the big screen.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, there are a lot of different schools of thought behind acting, and all of the good ones stem from similar sources. Meisner is the main platform by which I came to acting. And essentially, the easy way to boil it down would be to say that you find the truth and your personal connection to the character that you're playing by a lot of introspection into who you are and applying that slice of yourself to your character, but as well you're using what are known as imaginary circumstances to bring about great things in your work. So for instance, if your character's going through an emotional turmoil, let's say there's, you know, a lot of anger and betrayal or
yes.
sadness and so forth like that, what you would do is take a set of imaginary circumstances that you can believe in. You know, for instance, I might be able to imagine that I got a phone call that my brother called me and said, you know, mom's in the hospital, you got to come immediately. Well, I know full well that my mom is fine.
Yes.
And she's great. But I could believe that because I'm so close to my mom and, you know, she's getting a little older in years and, you know, my brother could call and he's back home and I could freak out about it. So
yeah.
Point being that you're relating real things in your life to imaginary things, and what it does is it allows your creativity, creativity to be never ending. You know,
yes.
if you're simply, you sometimes hear people talk about drawing on their emotional recall, and it's just something that happened in their real life. And there's nothing wrong with that.
You right.
do that. I do that. But it's limited to your experiences. Imaginary circumstances can be anything you dream of, so long as you're able to.
Yes.
So essentially, that's the idea behind it. And the rest of it goes into boiling down what really drives your character. What is it that makes this person tick? And from there, you reach into the depths of yourself to relate to it, because truly what people want to watch is your empathy towards what the character is going through, as opposed to you faking like you have empathy towards what the character is experiencing. One is very real and powerful, and the other sometimes is something you can see right through.
For sure, for sure. Very, very interesting. I like I say, I'm blown away. I think I blow people away when I share, oh, yeah, Meisner Method. I know all about that. So anyway, now our listeners have a tidbit of more information about what you do in regards to acting. Now, you probably don't remember this. Maybe you do, but back in the day when you were on, we talked about a specific role that you were trying to get. And that specific role was for the part of Captain America, and I think you shared you were down to the final two. Now, I actually had to go back a couple years ago and ask your permission that I could go to watch Captain America, because I said on the show I'm never watching it because Burgess Jenkins didn't get the part. But you gave me permission, so I did check it out. But every time I see, like, an Avengers movie or Captain America, I'm like, you know what? Burgess Jenkins needs to be on that screen right there playing that part. But you know, you played bunches of parts, both on TV and in the movies. Do you still wish you had the opportunities to get some of these roles? Is this like the main one that got away from you?
Well, let me make sure there's a correction in there. I was not down to the final two, but I do know I was somewhere in the mix on it.
Okay, okay.
No, but I never came quite that close. Well, I may have, and I'm unaware, regardless, I don't know that I would say it was the one that got away or anything. I look at who they cast on it, and you know, Chris Evans is, you know, he's significantly younger. He did a wonderful job of the role and so forth. I don't know, retrospectively, I don't know that I would have cast me for it simply because, you know, I see that they need to make a franchise out of it, and you need somebody who would be younger who could age into and through the character.
I see.
And at the time, I was a little, you know, I think about it, like, it was very tall. I mean, he was a fantastic job of the role. There are certainly roles along the way that you would look back on and you go, ah, I really like that one. And every once in a while, I suppose the human side of you gets a hold of you and you watch somebody portray a character that you were up for and you think, yeah, I would have done it a different way.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
But, you know, that's just part of it. I mean, if you're not very well aware that the majority of the things that you go in on are probably not going to fall your way, then don't be an actor. I mean, that's just part of the job.
Yes, yeah. Well, that makes a lot of sense. And I want to segue into the movie that just came out in Walmart. You know, I was really taken back because I was listening to our interview from back in 2010, and you mentioned this, Burgess. Has this been in the works for this whole 4 years? I mean, you mentioned the movie Hero, and here it is, releasing to DVD. Is this the same one?
It is the same one.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, and that just goes to show the business that we're in and the way that it can be sometimes. I mean, the process that you have to go through, the hoops you have to jump through, the production obstacles that can happen.
Wow. Wow. So here it is, 4 years later, and it's now out there. I mean, first of all, why don't you tell us about the movie? I know you were excited about it back then. All I've got to see so far is the trailer. I got to get my hands on it so I can watch this thing because I'm seeing great reviews. Why don't you tell us about the movie and kind of the process of how I got to this point?
Yeah, gladly. Happy to. It's about a guy named Joe Finn, who is a state Little League champion coach. He's the winningest Little League coach in state history. And through becoming kind of a local legend, he ends up pursuing a job that takes him on the road a lot, trying to be a scout for the major leagues. And the next thing he knows, he spent so much time on the road that he's managed to alienate his son and kind of lose touch with his community, and they're none too pleased with him. And so as he returns to his small town of Miller's Gap, he's got some damage control to do, and mostly with his son, who pretty much hates him. So he reaches out through the game they both love, baseball, and creates a new league in town because he notices that the league that and baseball that they love so much has kind of gotten watered down. And in fact, it turned it from this competitive, exciting sport into this, you know, kind of everyone gets a trophy and just the moms are the only people that are there, and they practice, you know, for a very minimal amount of time each week. And, you know, so baseball sort of the Joe isn't baseball anymore. So he tries to change the league and bring his son into coaching with him so that he can reconnect and reestablish his relationship. So it's a lot about fathers and sons and what it takes to put aside the goals and conquests that we sometimes want as men to realize that the things that matter most are our families and our choices and the examples that we set.
Amen.
So that's a big part of the movie. Of course, there's a lot of fun and excitement watching this ragtag team that he's put together who's, to put it nicely, just miserable. So they're a really bad team, and they're up against some good competition in town. And, of course, because some of the local community and baseball community aren't very fond of Joe, he has to do a lot of work to try and get them, his team, to play with some of the other teams. And so, yeah, there's a lot of great baseball play and a lot of fun with the young ragtag team players. And, of course, you know, some very poignant drama between Joe, his son, and some of the other dads.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And the reason this kind of resonated with me is I coached for 10 or so years with my three sons and even one of my daughters who played softball. And in going through that process of coaching during the summers, which I loved, you know, teaching the fun aspects of the game and the camaraderie and the good times amongst the kids, you run into the roadblocks of the mom and dad who are the screamers in the stands, or the mom and dad that love to yell at the young umpires who volunteer their time, or you've got the parents who never come to any of it, so you're trying to be almost the dad figure to them. So I'm really intrigued to watch this particular movie. And the thing that really strikes at me is this is just a game. Maybe talk about this aspect of sports, Burgess. I know you grew up playing them, but the importance of how this drives camaraderie, how this can build a family, because this can be a good thing.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things I love so much about Hero is that it is told through the lens of sports. It is not a movie, thankfully, that was designed only for men to watch. You know, it's one of those movies like, well, to borrow Remember the Titans that I was a part of.
Yes.
It's a movie that surprises a lot of people because they go into it, especially women, thinking, I've got to suffer through this football. Watch. And then they watch it, and they're thrilled to find out that, yes, football is a part of the movie, but it's not about football. And Hero, similarly, is told through the lens of baseball, which is a fantastic vehicle, but moreover, sports are such a wonderful metaphor for life, for competition, for striving to be your best, for pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, by camaraderie with teammates and getting along and collaborating and, you know, all of these things that are not just essential to life, but they make us better people.
Yes.
And that's one of the things I love so much about Hero, really, is that you get so many aspects, so many life lessons, if you will, from the enjoyment of watching this movie. It wasn't made like, you know, I'm going to go ahead and call out Christian films, to be honest with you.
Yep.
There's a lot of good ones out there, but I'll be so bold as to say that I think personally the majority, or at least the majority that I've viewed, are too intent on putting a sermon on film.
And
I think that's a mistake. Yeah, you can tell a wonderful story in the process, but when people watch a movie, they want to watch a movie. They want storytelling. They want to be uplifted. They want to be entertained. They want, you know, excitement or adventure or drama or whatever the case may be. But they want a sermon to go to church.
So
I feel like the best way to do both is to live out a story that emulates what faith is about. And I think great examples of that are things like The Blind Side and Chariots of Fire. And, I think movies like Fireproof serve a wonderful purpose. And I think they're good movies. And I did enjoy that. I think those are good storytelling movies. But there are others along the way that I feel like they sort of miss the point of making the movie. And I want Christian films not to be viewed as, well, you've got films and you have Christian films.
Yeah.
I think that that's a mistake a lot of the time. So, not to say those movies don't serve their purpose, they do, and I'm glad that we have them, but I don't want there to be just that distinguishing line. So Hero, I think, does a wonderful job of splitting the difference and having a faith through line that is something that everyone can relate to, whether you believe in God or not. There's that vehicle there that you can't deny the faith element the way that it's presented.
Amen.
And again, I think that's one of the brilliant things about, you know, A Blind Side of Chariots of Fire. You don't have to be somebody who's in the pew every Sunday to get the message and moved by it. And
yes,
hopefully it does plant a seed, because as Christians, that's what we're after.
Yes.
You know, we're after planting a seed. And I love that about Hero. I feel like it does plant a seed. It challenges men to be at their best. It challenges families to reconsider some things that may have not been the best decisions in life.
Yes.
And also to recognize that it doesn't matter how far down the road you are. You could have teenage kids, and maybe you made a lot of mistakes, but you can say, you know what, I'm going to reprioritize some things here. Maybe you can make it better. But it does all of that through fun storytelling as opposed to being fighting.
Amen. You know, and I think you're right. I think you hit the nail on the head. We watch these movies, and there should be a takeaway. There should be something when you get done watching the film with your family, you can talk about these different aspects. And you know what? That might even lend itself to getting out the Bible and getting into the Word, which is a beautiful thing. So I think these movies can serve that purpose. They can draw families close together to have these real conversations that I think might be amiss a lot in today's culture. Well, Burgess, it's been great having you on the program. I know you're a busy guy. I just want to thank you for being with us. And you know what? I promise that I'm not going to wait till 2018, which would be another 4 years before I have you back on.
Well, I would appreciate that. I would look forward to a chat anytime you want to have one, my friend.
All right, you got it, my friend. God bless you.
God bless.